I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 38, and you can follow me along there. And then I also am going to read a couple of verses in the book of Hebrews and basically demonstrate tonight how this text, Jeremiah 38, illustrates the New Testament principle we find in Hebrews chapter 2. So reading here from Jeremiah 38, beginning at verse number 14, it says, "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry, that is, into the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on, and they have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk into the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans. And thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but thou shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Hebrews chapter 2 then, I'm going to read to you the first three verses. These are very familiar verses. It says, Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here, the book of Hebrews gives one of four warnings within this book. And I understand that the context here is written to Christians. And normally when we look at verse number 3, we would apply it to the subject of salvation and stress how important it is for sinners to believe the gospel lest they be condemned throughout all of eternity in the lake of fire. But again, the context here suggests that the verse is written not to unbelievers, but to believers. And it's just as important for believers to take heed as to how they hear the word of God as it is for a lost person. The consequences are much more severe for a person who's lost, undoubtedly. But it is important for God's people to take heed to the commandments and the warnings found in the Scriptures as well. Because it's possible for a believer to sow to the flesh and as a result reap destruction. And so, again, it's as we look at the principle, the simple generic principle that's found in Hebrews chapter 2, it's make sure you listen to God. Don't neglect to receive and to obey the instructions that He has given to you. And chapter number 3 gives us an illustration of a group of people who failed to heed God's exhortation, failed to heed God's instructions to go in and to take the promised land. And because they did not listen to God, because they acted in unbelief, they all died during the 40-year wilderness march. And can I just say something for a moment about instruction? I was having a conversation with one of my children last week, and had a profound thought, at least I thought. And that was, some people perceive instruction to be a bad thing. They talk about it as though it's a bad thing. Instruction is not a bad thing. When a parent instructs a child, they may not like to receive it, but that instruction is being given to them for their benefit. Likewise, if God instructs us from the Word of God, is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. He's instructing us because He loves us and He wants what is best for us. And likewise, when we find ourselves in a position where we have to give instruction to another Christian, or perhaps we have to receive instruction from another Christian, that instruction ought not to be perceived as evil. Granted, sometimes Christians offer instruction that's not applicable, and if that be the case, then it can graciously be ignored. But if that instruction is worthwhile, then it would be worth your effort to take heed to it. Zedekiah, to me, as I read through this particular portion of Scripture a couple of weeks ago, I wrote out next to it, Zedekiah placed the present ahead of the future. And I even entitled my message something similar, Zedekiah Forfeiting Your Future for the Present. I believe that Zedekiah is an example of someone, because he did not heed the instruction of God, forfeited his future for the present. When you look at the circumstances surrounding Zedekiah's life in this particular chapter, they're fairly positive. I mean, Judah had certainly seen its better days. They had experienced revival in the past, even as recently as 2 Kings back, because we'll look here in just a moment that Jeremiah prophesied also during the reign of Josiah. So that was a better day, perhaps, in the history of the nation of Israel than King Zedekiah's reign. But he was the king of Judah. And as such, he had a prominent position. I'm sure all his needs were taken care of. And so, as far as he was concerned, he was sitting pretty. There was no need for change. No need for doing anything drastic. But he realized that there was a danger on the horizon. He could see a little bit out and understand that, you know what? This Babylonian empire has grown to be the greatest empire in the world. And they're pushing at our borders. And it's just a matter of time before they try to come over and to dethrone me. And I believe it's Zedekiah understanding that that causes him to summons Jeremiah. Because that's where we pick up with our text in verse number 14, that Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry, that is, into the house of the Lord. Now understand too, if we were to read the verses prior to this, Jeremiah was in the miry pit. And he was left there to die. So fortunately for him, King Zedekiah wanted to hear from a man of God. And so Zedekiah, understanding that the prospects into the future did not look so bright, called or summoned for Jeremiah to come before him. And when Zedekiah brought Jeremiah forth, he told him, well, let's just read it here in verse number 14. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. He says, I got a question, Jeremiah, that I want to ask you. And I don't want you to hold anything back. I want you to tell me the truth. And Jeremiah, being a man of discernment, he's got a couple of questions for King Zedekiah. The first question is, okay, if I tell you the truth, are you going to kill me? Now remember, he just came from a miry pit, placed there under the authority of King Zedekiah because the people didn't like what he had to say. And so Jeremiah's like, I can tell you what you want to know, King, but I'm kind of afraid that you won't like it and you might drop me back down into that miry pit to die. And my second question is, if I tell you the truth, are you going to obey? Are you going to listen to me when I speak this time? Because experience tells me that that's not what's going to happen. I've been a prophet for quite a while now. Been through a couple, three kings. And none of them have liked what I had to say thus far. Except for maybe Josiah. So if I tell you the truth, are you going to obey me? And Zedekiah at least answers one of the questions. In verse 16, it says, so Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Now, he doesn't promise that he'll obey him, but he does promise he won't put him to death. And so Jeremiah then feels at liberty to speak plainly to the king. Verse 17, then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. Jeremiah, you know what he tells King Zedekiah to do? He tells him to surrender to the princes of Babylon. This was not a new message. This was the same message that got Jeremiah in trouble with the king in the first place. Because when Jeremiah had preached this message on the streets of Judah, on the streets of Jerusalem, the people called him a traitor. The people said he's weakening the hands of the soldiers by doing this. And so that's why they put him in the pit. And so Jeremiah comes with the same message. King, here's what God has told me to tell you. Surrender to the princes of the Babylonians. And if you'll do that, the city will be spared. It will not be burnt. You'll save your life and you'll save the lives of your family members. But he also says, if you will not obey me, King, verse number 18, if thou will not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. It appears to me God was already reading the mind of Zedekiah. Jeremiah was saying, this city's going to be burned if you don't obey. And Zedekiah had already probably made up his mind, there's no way I'm surrendering myself into the hands of the princes of Babylon. What I'll do if this city is going to be overtaken, I will flee and I'll escape from the Chaldean army. But God comes back and says, don't think that you will be able to escape either. Don't care how many secret passages you have. Don't care if you've got a bomb bunker. There'll be no place for you to hide, King. You will be captured as well. Notice Zedekiah's response. He said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. He was afraid. Afraid to listen to the man of God. Why? You know, Zedekiah had been the king previously that told the people not to surrender to the Chaldeans. He counseled them contrary to Jeremiah's message. And yet, evidently, some of them had indeed already surrendered themselves into the hand of Chaldeans to spare their lives. Or perhaps this is some of them that had already been exported by Babylon into their nation. But for whatever reason, Zedekiah was afraid to go into surrender because he felt like the Chaldeans would deliver him into the hands of those Jews and they would treat him poorly. Perhaps they would view him as hypocritical for telling them not to surrender, and now here he was surrendering. And so he was afraid to listen to Jeremiah's message. But Jeremiah, notice Jeremiah pleads with him in verse 20. He said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. He reiterates, you're going to be okay. Your family is going to be okay if you will just obey God. Cast your fears aside. They are not, the Chaldeans are not going to give you into the hands of those Jews that want to mock you, that want to mistreat you. Just obey God, and I said everything will be okay with you. Zedekiah already has his mind made up as we read the rest of the account. He said that Jeremiah repeats the condemnation that had come to Zedekiah if he refuses to listen. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire and they are turned away back. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans. And thou shalt not escape out of their hand. But thou shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Notice what God says through the prophet Jeremiah to King Zedekiah. Again, if you don't listen, king, the city's going to be burned, your wives and your children are going to be delivered into the hand of the Chaldeans, and you won't escape either. This is what will happen if you don't listen to God. And again, Zedekiah, having his mind made up in verse 24, says, let no man know these words, and thou shalt not die. He said, Jeremiah, I don't want you telling anybody about our conversation. He even, in the verses to follow, tells Jeremiah what he can say when the princes of Israel ask him what King Zedekiah wanted. Don't let anybody know about our conversation. The Bible doesn't tell us why. Perhaps Zedekiah felt like he would be perceived as weak. Like he's lacking conviction here. Perhaps some would have perceived that Zedekiah wanted to follow the instructions of Jeremiah. Or perhaps it's because they would have found fault with him once Jeremiah's prophecy came to pass. But for whatever reason, Zedekiah says, just don't tell anybody about our conversation. Let's just act like it never happened. Maybe he thought somehow that would relinquish him of the responsibility of heeding the message. Let's just ignore it. Let's just forget about it. And I'll just go on living my life like I've never been warned. Like I don't know what the future holds. So again, as you look through this chapter, you see that Zedekiah, he sought counsel from the man of God. He heard what he must do in order to secure his safety into the future. He was warned of what would happen if he failed to obey, but he was afraid. Afraid to obey. And though Jeremiah pleaded with him to obey, he rejects the instructions of Jeremiah. And if you look over at the next chapter in verse, now let me see how far back I want to read. We'll start at verse number 4. It says, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, the Babylonian army, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. Undoubtedly, this is what he had already been preparing in his mind whenever he was talking to Jeremiah, how he would escape. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And then notice this tragic end to this particular account. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Wow, what a tragedy. Here Zedekiah thought that he could escape, but he's captured along with the nobles of Judah, along with his sons. And the last thing that he sees before his eyes are put out, before he's made blind by Nebuchadnezzar, is his sons and the nobles of Judah being slain. That's the last thing he sees before his eyes are put out. What a tragic end. But this is the one thought that kept coming to my mind in thinking about this particular chapter. All of this was unavoidable. All of it was avoidable, I should say. It didn't have to happen. If Zedekiah simply would have listened to the message from God, if he simply would have listened to the prophet of God, this would not have happened. He would not have suffered such a tragic end. Yes, he would have had to have humbled himself and surrendered to the Babylonians, but at least his life would have been spared. At least his sons' lives would have been spared. At least the nobles of Judah's lives would have been spared. At least the city would not have been destroyed. It would not have been burnt to the ground. But Zedekiah refused to humble himself, refused to heed the message of God, and suffers this tragic end. And such is the fate of multitudes of sinners. Not all of them have sought the counsel of a man of God, but I'm of the opinion most sinners have heard the counsel of the man of God. I believe a lot of sinners have recognized that one of these days they're going to die. They're not going to live forever. They can see their prospects into the future and recognize that they too, one day, their bodies will be placed into the ground. And maybe many a sinner, understanding that, have come and sat in a church pew to hear what the Word of God has to say about the future. And the man of God gets up into the pulpit and he preaches. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to flee, and the way to flee hell and gain heaven is to trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But many a sinner sat in a pew, or sat at home, or sat in their car, wherever they're hearing the gospel preached, and they're afraid to obey. Unwilling to humble themselves. What will others think? I've mocked this Christian gospel for so long. Will people perceive me as weak or a hypocrite if I believe the gospel and get saved? They're fearful. And though the man of God and the people of God plead with them, just obey. If you'll just obey, everything will be okay. The man of God and the people of God even explain what will happen if they don't. If you don't obey, there's only a fearful day of judgment to look forward to. And those, again, that refuse to hear the gospel will suffer a tragic end like Zedekiah. And it's all completely avoidable. Again, you can't help but have some sympathy towards Zedekiah when you read verses 6 and 7 of chapter 39. What a terrible thing. There are many people that he would even find fault with God because of what happens to Zedekiah. But I don't know how you can find fault with God whenever God came to Zedekiah and told him specifically how he could avoid this. How's that God's fault? It's Zedekiah's fault. I don't know, it appears like his pride got in the way. And that's what gets in the way of many people, which causes them to reject the gospel. They don't want to humble themselves. That's what would have been necessary for Zedekiah to save his life. He would have had to get off his throne and go down and surrender to the Chaldeans. He wasn't going to do that. And there's a lot of people that refuse to get down off of their throne and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just not something they're willing to do. Because at least the way they see it, they're in charge of their life now. And things, for many people, are comfortable. There's no reason to make drastic changes. And so what do? They forfeit the future for the present. God said, this is how it's going to be in the future, Zedekiah. This is how it's going to be if you maintain this course. And Zedekiah said, well, I'm going to hold out that there's hope that that doesn't really happen. How many sinners have you heard say that? I'm going to hold out hope that what the Bible says is not, it is true. And if this man of God suffered this tragic end because he didn't obey God, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall the sinner escape if he neglects so great a salvation? He can't escape. There was nothing Zedekiah could do when he refused the message from God through the man of God. All he had to look forward to was judgment. And the same thing applies to every one of us. If you're lost and you're not saved, you know what? Just perceive me like Jeremiah. I'm the man of God, the prophet of God. And I'm telling you that God has given you a message, and that message is included in this book, and it says that if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. If you will trust Him as your Savior, you can avoid hell and gain heaven. But you got to recognize that you're a sinner. Believing that Jesus died for you, that He died in your place. And if you will do that and call upon God and ask Him to save you because of what Jesus has done for you, He will save you. But if you recognize that you're a sinner and you refuse to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, you only have one thing to look forward to, and that's eternal judgment in hell. And I, like Jeremiah, would encourage you, obey the gospel. Don't reject it and turn from it. And likewise, those of us that are saved, when God brings into our life instruction from His Word, don't ignore it. It's no light matter. Not for the sinner, it wasn't for Zedekiah, and it won't be for us either. Maybe our home in heaven is secure. But if we don't obey the instructions that God gives us from the Word of God, it's bound to reap negative consequences in our lives. So again, the question that's asked in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You can't. This is illustrated over and over again in the Old Testament. You remember another king that I talk about within a similar light. That's the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. Whenever God gave him insight into what was going to happen into the future, he made preparation, he obeyed. And as a result, he and his nation were greatly exalted. But Zedekiah did just the opposite and only brought upon himself destruction. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the many practical lessons that we can learn from it. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would learn something from the life of Zedekiah. Lord, here he was, the king of Judah, and yet unwilling to submit to the instruction from the man of God, Jeremiah. Lord, may we not be like that. Lord, if there's some here that aren't saved, help them not to be like Zedekiah and fearful. to repent of their sin and embrace the message of the gospel. Help them, Lord, by faith to receive Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, those of us that are saved, help us also to be careful how we hear the Word of God. Might we not quickly dismiss the instructions that come from it, knowing that that would only reap destruction in our lives. May we humbly accept instructions from the Word of God. And might it cause us to be a better Christian, one that's more faithful to You. So God, take the message, apply it to our lives as You see fit tonight, and I'll thank You for it, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.